A couple of years ago, I wrote a commentary that began thusly. There can't be too many reasons a man would go to court to prove that at the age of 29 he had had sex with a 15-year-old girl. In fact, maybe there's only one, if the product of that brief relationship was named LeBron. I then went on to explain that a Washington, D.C. lawyer named Lester Bryce Stovell claimed to have met Gloria James in a bar in 1984 and, after a few hours of courtship, went back to his Virginia home and had sex with her. Stovell later learned that she was a teenager, pregnant, and planned on naming the boy LeBron. According to him, among the sentences he spoke before they parted was, quote, "make sure he plays basketball," unquote. After LeBron did so with some success, Stovell decided it was time to get back into the young man's life. When neither of the Jameses seemed open to such a reunion/introduction, and when a paternity test suggested he was not, in fact, the father, Stovell decided to press his case in court. Of course he did. Certain that one of the Jameses had messed with the results of the paternity test, in June 2010, Stovell filed suit for fraud and defamation, claiming that, through deceitful actions, he had been deprived of commercial opportunities. Or, as the federal trial court noted, quote, "apparently, Stovell believes that companies are willing to pay him for being the father of LeBron James," unquote. Unfortunately for Stovell, wholly speculative damages cannot be recovered in tort actions in either D.C. or Ohio, so that part of the case went against him. So, too, did the defamation claim. Stovell felt that he'd been treated poorly in public by LeBron, who, among other things, noted that he was going to be a better father than his had been. The court ruled that not only are these reasonable subjective opinions for LeBron to hold, but also that any negative comments made about said father could not be known to apply to Stovell himself until Stovell let everyone know he was the absentee in question. Stovell's sad brick of a case was also rejected by the appeals court. But once you've tried to convince the court that you're a money-grubbing statutory rapist, what prevents you from trying again? Nothing. So before the ink was even dry on Stovell's last court rejection, he saw another opportunity. In an April 2012 edition of Sports Illustrated, LeBron James was quoted saying some rather benign statements about his father not being around and how that shaped him into the man he is today. What the world saw, or that portion of the world that still reads Sports Illustrated, was the sort of tepid introspection journalists find quoteworthy from our superstars. But what Stovell saw was, of course, dollar signs, claiming that because his first lawsuit brought so much attention, readers of the article in which Stovell was, of course, not named, would connect him with LeBron's words. This somehow, quote, "falsely portrayed Stovell to the public as an abandoner of his child, unwilling to share in his support and upbringing," unquote. The case, filed by Stovell himself, would have almost certainly been rejected on its merits if it had come to that. But it had an even better conclusion. In D.C., there is a one-year statute of limitations on a great many civil claims, including defamation. Stovell filed the suit on April 29, 2013, one day short of 1 year since the cover date on the Sports Illustrated story. But the issue itself was actually available both online and in print on April 25, 2012, meaning that instead of being one day under the deadline, he was actually 3 days over it. Still, compared to money-grubbing, statutory-raping, absentee dad, plain old incompetent lawyer doesn't sound too bad. So there's that. I'm Travis McDade.